The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you. It is Thursday morning, it's the 11th of March 2021 and we are here till 10 o'clock. The text number is 51551 and you can email ryan@rte.ie. It's great to have you with us. Did you go for a walk yesterday? Did you put stones in your pocket so you didn't get blown away? It was windy. Everyone knows it's windy. Even a song was playing in my head. Windy in the city yesterday, but still worth going out. I was kind of fighting with myself a little bit. Kind of half thinking, I don't know if I even want to go for it. I gotta get out of there. Maybe I should. These, you know, inner monologues that you tend to have. And then I thought, no, get up, get out. And I was glad. I was glad after the event. What about this now? If you've got old children about the house of late, and you still can't get rid of, I mean, send them to school. And Jennifer Garner, the actress, has said that she spends one day a year saying yes to everything her children ask for. I mean, I don't know about the wisdom of that, but for one day, that could be quite nice. Everything. Can I have a lottery ticket? Yeah. Can we get junk food? Everything. Mac, everything. Yeah, sure. Everything. Can we camp in the garden? Yeah. Because she says there are so many no's implied in a child's life. And that I do understand. I always think that toy show wise about how to talk to children and with children, never at them. If you get down on your honkers, as you're saying, look at them in the eye, you have a much different conversation than you do if you're a big, tall, Gulliverian finger pointer looking at them saying, no, or we'll see. Anyway, Jennifer Garner, you know, from 13 going on 30, so she knows a thing or two about these things, shares three children with her ex-husband, Ben Affleck. Violet, 15. Serafina, if you don't mind, 12. And Samuel, 9. And she adopted the tradition of Yes Day after reading a children's book called Yes Day by Amy Kreis Rosenthal, which I think probably sounds quite nice. But in the book, parents say yes to every request as long as it does not involve anything dangerous or illegal for 24 hours. And Jennifer Garner says it's a huge hit with her family. Well, I mean, my children are a little old for that carry on now, but I think I would have, if I had little ones, would I give it a go for a day? I definitely would. Then some people would say, yes, but dads say yes to everything and mums have to take the brunt of the... I do understand that too. But for one day only, everyone says yes. Worth a go. Keeping it with the children of Ireland, the Homeschool Hub, which has proven such a hit, is going to feature as a special guest this morning on Taoiseach Micheál Martin. That should be fun. When I did that last year, I was sitting in a little chair. I hope he's sitting in a little chair too. I mean, there has to be a parity of in esteem in these things. Everyone has to sit in a little chair and talk to the puppet. I mean, not a puppet, it's a dog. Seamus, it's not even a puppet at all. The real people are there. Great bunch of people. But in the piece this morning, which you'll be able to watch at 10 o'clock on RT2 and indeed on the RT player, Micheál Martin talks about growing up in Turner's Cross in Cork City. Did you know he was a twin? Didn't know that. You see, that sometimes these interviews bring out things in people that you didn't know. Talks about being late for school and how he lost his front tooth, his first front tooth playing rugby on the street, and how he's worn his crown ever since. And he talks about his dog, Satanta. Didn't know he had a dog, didn't know his name, Satanta. The things you find out. And he talks to Seamus, the resident pooch on Homeschool Hub this morning at 10. So good sport for getting stuck into that. Good. In other good news, close to half of the top-selling 100 grocery brands were Irish-produced last year. This is really good news in terms of Irish people supporting Irish people and buying local. Now, I did feel, as Ireland yesterday, I thought, listening to the news going, yeah, the Northern Ireland are steaming well ahead with all the vaccines. I was going, oh, I'm delighted for you. I'm really happy for you. And then, you know, oh, the Britain, everyone's kind of can all meet up now. I said, oh, that's great. Yeah, the French have spare stuff. I said, hang on a second. I feel like the guy on the team doesn't get picked now. We're not that bad. I mean, I know we're on the edge of things. We're on the periphery a little bit, but we're still, you can still send stuff over. Just reminded me, maybe I was triggered about my youthful excursions on the playing pitches. I know I was retired at the age of 9, but nevertheless, I went on to play the post repeatedly and successfully in my retirement. Back to the story from the Irish Examiner. Sorry, the Irish Times this morning, I'm looking at here. Close to half the top... Irish consumers have been buying Irish products in supermarkets in huge numbers since the start of COVID. Leading local brands recording growth of almost 20%. This is great news. 44 of the top 100 selling take-home grocery brands in the Republic during 2020 were Irish produced. Do you remember when we did the piece on the Late Late Show about shopping local and everything? And we gave what was a bursary to some firms to say, look, we really admire what you're doing. We hope we can give a few bob to you that might enhance your business. And what I never told you was after the show, when the cameras were turned off and the lights were dimmed, each and every one of the people who won the bursary came up to me to say thank you, which is not common and really impressive. And not only that, and this is more important in some ways, they were very emotional. Because it was tough to face into this war against COVID and be a business and a small business and a family business. So I'm thrilled to say we're going to review and revisit, I should say, some of those businesses tomorrow night on the Late Late Show and see how they're getting on and how they got on. Because life goes on and it's been that tough time for businesses around the country. So we just wanted to keep the support going, keep the flag flying and encouraging everyone to do what you're clearly doing in our supermarket, which is great news, which is to shop and buy local. Peg, the documentary, brilliant last night, and there was a lot of love for it, I'm glad to say, online. Somebody sent me a very funny doctored photograph of Oprah Winfrey, and they put Peg's head on Meghan's body, and that was very amusing. So I put that on Instagram because I thought it was worth a share. Crediting whoever came up with that is on it too, but it gave me a little laugh, and I said, I think I'll share this. It's kind of amusing. New research published by the Union of Students in Ireland, the USI, show that 2/3 believe that the Irish language should remain compulsory up to leaving cert. I'm really surprised to hear that. That must be great news in Gaelgeoir circles, because the belief in the compulsory nature of that is amazing. I thought certainly support for the Irish language would be strong and alive and well, but the compulsory nature of it, to have an 80% or at least 2/3% result, is extraordinary. Just 7% felt that it should be optional all the way through school. So that is a sign of where we are at, I think, certainly from that poll. More good news, RTE.ie telling us that Irish authors Kathleen McMahon and Nisha Dolan have been longlisted for the Women's Prize for Fiction in the UK. So congratulations to them both. And Kathleen's book is Nothing But Blue Sky. Nisha's book is called Exciting Times. And the prize is awarded for the best full-length novel written by a woman and published in the UK, and any woman writing in English is eligible. There are 16 authors on the long list, including Dawn French, who we spoke to not too long ago on the programme here. That'll be narrowed down to a shortlist of 6. They'll announce that on the 28th of April, and the winner will receive £30,000 sterling and a bronze figurine for the mantelpiece, of course. Lego sales have returned to double-digit growth. It's amazing. The Lego, there's a family that run Lego, and eventually they turned around and said, this is not going great. We're falling sales. There was a decade-long double-digit growth streak that came to an end in 2017. They said, do you know what we'll do? We'll call Niels Christensen. Niels B. Christensen, to be honest. And they called Niels and they said, any chance you could give us a facelift here to the company? And he said, yeah. And then the pandemic hit. I mean, talk about lucky general. And then sales of Lego just went, and he's sitting on this going, yes, I knew what I was doing, and therefore we have an increase by... good, brilliant result for the Danish toy makers. They are so happy. Years of investment have paid off. But in fairness to him, what he did was he had improved the online sales system, which, as we know now, because we're spending so much time on it, that has to be right. I mean, if you have a rubbishy page on which you're to do business, I'm gone. Like you, and I'm not tech savvy. So you need to make it really easy for people like me, and I'll stay with you. But if you complicate it or you try to do too much, I'm out. So they did that. And they had new sets to build from plastic bricks, such as robots that can be programmed on a smartphone. So they knew what they were doing, and they're getting the reaping the dividend there. Kenneth Branagh, who I'm a big fan of, is going to... This is amazing, all this Bee Gees stuff we've been talking about. So Kenneth Branagh is going to direct a Bee Gees biopic or biopic. And this is amazing because I talked about the documentary, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart, which Barry Gibb took part in. And then we interviewed Barry with Dolly Parton on the Late Late Show soon afterwards. And he's going to be involved as executive producer. Ben Elton is going to draft a screenplay, but Branagh is going to direct it. So that will be, I just think that'll be terrific because their story is knockout. And if you haven't seen How Can You Mend a Broken Heart documentary, I'll stop banging on about it as of now because it's your loss if you don't watch it. It's just amazing. So good news. Matthew McConaughey, another former guest on The Late Late Show on Wednesday, said he was considering a run for, what do you think he wants to run for? The run for Texas governor. The current incumbent, Greg Abbott, a Republican, is up for re-election in 2022. And McConaughey said, yeah, you know, he's a parent. He's a University of Texas professor. And he thinks it's a true, he calls it a true consideration. And it's not the first time that he said that. But this, imagine 10 years ago, you said, no, you can't do that. I mean, Ronald Reagan was a once-off. And then you have, was it Jesse Ventura, the wrestler, became, didn't he become something? And then, do we have to mention the previous incumbent of the what do you call it, the White House? And then you have Clint Eastwood. It was the mayor of Carmel, and so it's not unheard of for these things to happen. But you look at the president of Ukraine, who played the president of a comedy show, and they all said, "Yeah, you'd be a brilliant president." He said, "No, I'm just an actor, God's sake." Not to mention Arnold Schwarzenegger in California. Honest to goodness, amazing. Now, American Horror Story, if you watch it, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, I'll keep this brief. It's depraved and camp and hilarious and awful and scary and brilliant and all those things. Ryan Murphy is the guy behind it. He's a very prolific writer, director, kind of showrunner. Anyway, season 10 is coming and it looks like the star of it will be Macaulay Culkin. Hilarious. I mean, you might as well. And they're now shooting his very first season of that. So that's, didn't he start off his whole life being the original scream emoji? And now he's going to be, and that makes perfect sense. He's 40, so off it goes. Now, and a quick line for my friends upstairs. They've commissioned a new series of Selling Sunset and Bling Empire. Happy? Good. Next, the guy who invented the... that's my coffee break. Did you see it last night? Bye! And ditto Coronation Street. I'm sorry, it's not on my radar. Lou Ottens died, and you'll say, I don't care. Oh, you do, though. He was a Dutch engineer, so, yeah. But you have handled the work of Mr. Ottens at some point in your life, if you're a certain age. And you will remember his work with fondness when I tell you that he was the man who essentially gets the credit for inventing the cassette tape. Imagine he was 94 and he died, but he developed it in the Philips product development department in 1960. And the patented cassette then went crazy. And he said it was a sensation from day one. Then he was involved in developing the compact disc, and gosh, more than 200 billion of those have been sold worldwide. So fair enough. But the cassette tapes have made a bit of a comeback. The vinyl, I can understand the comeback because the beauty of the artwork and the physicality of this, of the disc and so on. I'm not so sure about cassette tapes. They were prone to wear down. There's only so many pencils you can put in the thing to try and spool it back and what have you. But Lady Gaga says they're great and the Killers have released their music on cassettes. So, but yeah, not so much. I think I'd be a bit more of a fan of the vinyl. Okay, some texts. It needs to be a random day rather than a specific date on the Yes Day thing. Yeah, that's fair enough. The children shouldn't know when the Yes Day is coming. That's a great idea. Do you remember sometimes, like a random half day, where you go, come on, let's just go and do stuff and eat chips and have a laugh. Claire, still wondering how that poor little bird is doing after his power hosing incident. He never saw it coming. Has he recovered? Has he forgiven you? Have you put it behind? Okay, the power hose. First of all, I brought the power hose in today in the boot of my car and to return to MacGyver, who very kindly lent it to me. I never want to see it again. I never want to see it again. I made the place. I, honest to God, the windows, the clothes, everything, the grouting, there was nothing. Nothing was left undisturbed. Honestly, and every time I thought, and I'd say, right, I've just hit this corner, it's done. And I'd kick up a whole load of other stuff. And it was a mess. So it's gone. But I was doing a little bit of a pose for Instagram with it to say, oh, here's the thing. And I hit the trigger. And I didn't realize when I was doing it, there was a tiny little bird trying to make his way through the bird feeder. And no, I didn't hit him. No, he didn't die. But he got the fright of his life. And I'm sorry to him or her. and him or his or her family. And I hope that that things are okay in the nest, that he's not too, or she's not too traumatized. It was an error. And the whole thing was an error of judgment. And I will call the professionals as soon as I'm COVID compliantly able to do so. So there you are. That's the update. Ryan, in our family, mum says no. Dad says maybe. And Nanny says, yes, of course, says Tim from Sneem. Didn't I see somewhere on the news the other day, Sneem is like this golden spot in terms of COVID, that they got everything right and vaccinated and everything. So well done to them. I ran a playgroup for 45 years, says Elizabeth, and every suggestion from the children was discussed with the children. The children knew the rules well, so there was no need for no on the majority of days. If you give children control, they are tremendous. Great cheers. Jackie Hurley's been on. Good morning, Jackie. Just heard you talking about yesterday. We did this for my son Luke's 7th birthday 2 weeks ago. Okay. I felt like lockdown birthdays are hard enough, so why not give him something to be excited about? So for one day only, it was yes to everything. Oh, great. Yes to pancakes for breakfast. Yes to mum and dad taking a day off work and no calls. Yes to all of us bouncing on the trampoline. Yes to his choice for dinner. Yes to movie day. I want this day. Whatever he wanted. So much fun squeezed into one day. It was simple, it was blissful, and I would highly recommend it, and it was great for the soul. Thank you, Jackie. I knew you'd get this right. And what sounds from that, I extrapolate from that message, is that everybody was winning. So that's really, really good. And on the yes date, it's a nice concept, says the text, but I think I'd go with yes, but you have to do it yourself. That might give better life lessons. For example, can I have sweets? Yes, with your own money, and get the bus to the shop. No, no, Captain Buzzkill, you can't. That's not the... don't start qualifying it. You can't start saying, yeah, it's a yes, maybe day. That's not the same thing. It's a yes, maybe day. We're talking, you know what we're talking, right? We're talking about the Jackie Hurley version, which is kind of, yep. That, not the... We'll see. Did you say Macaulay Culkin is 40? I'm getting so old, says Peter. You are, absolutely. That's it. The sands of time are running out. So have the crack and be nice. Now, another man who died is an actor. Actually, I walked right into that without knowing, didn't I? Here we are then. Trevor Peacock died. Anyone ever hear of Trevor Peacock? Fans of The Vicar of Dibley will know he played Jim Trott. I've never seen it, so I don't know what that means. But I know that Trevor Peacock died. But when you read about somebody's obituary, you might find a nugget, as you often do, about Trevor Peacock. And that's why I'm mentioning him now. So he played the rustic stalwart of the parish council in The Vicar of Dibley. Fine. And he had a big hit because he wrote some music and lyrics when he wrote the song called Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Daughter, which hit the top of the US charts for Herman's Hermits. So he obviously was skilled at playing an old tune when he wanted to. But he could have made a lot of money if he had done one simple thing, which was to come up with a rhyme for a word that would become part of one of the most famous songs of all time. And here's what happened. He got a call, essentially, from John Barry. John Barry, the composer, called him and said, Trevor,
yeah,
don't be stuck on The Vicar of Dibley for the rest of your life in the future, this because like Back to the Future, because I have a plan now that could make you a lot of money as the lyricist to one of my songs. He said, okay, great. What's the song? It's a song for a James Bond film. Oh, good. Yeah, great. Sign me up. And he said, what's the name of the song? And John Barry said, it's a strange thing, but if you haven't read it, it's called Goldfinger. And he goes, great, okay, I can do that. A couple of weeks later, the late Trevor Peacock calls John Barry and says, John, hi, it's Trevor. Yeah, sorry, and I'm reading the quote here. Sorry, I can't find anything to rhyme with finger. Deal over. And Trevor Peacock and his date with fate was over. And he couldn't think of one, he couldn't summons up linger or... I can't think of anything else now. But either way, there was an obvious one there from, and so it was. Trevor Peacock. Lost that moment. God help us.
Wow. Wow. That was something else. When you hear that brass and all its finery and beauty, that's Goldfinger from Shirley Bassey. And that puts me in the mood to watch a Bond movie this weekend. I'm really up for that now. So that's... But which one? I don't know. I like them all. They all bring something different to the table. I don't kind of loathe any of the Bonds and kind of go, no, I could never watch Roger Moore,
Even George Lazenby on a trippy day out, you'd watch that one, you know. Okay, there's bits and pieces of post on my desk I want to get to now because people are very kind to send things. First of all, Paul Cashin, who had the pleasure of meeting at Croke Park, front of house manager there, and his wife Laura had their first baby, Sean, born yesterday at 5. So I just want to say congratulations to them, for starters, from their folks Alan and Claire and from us, all of us here. That is great news. So congratulations. Also, at the butcher's counter, my local Super Value, Morris the Butcher, he's a bit of a ledge bag now over there, as they'd say, as a young people. But Morris hits a big birthday today, and the lad said, don't forget, tomorrow's the big day. And so it's today. So happy birthday, Morris. I won't tell anyone that you're 60 today because that would be unfair. But you don't look it and you certainly don't act it. And I'll never ask you for a tip for a horse ever. But thank you. Happy birthday. And you're great. You're a great sport there every time I'm in, which is pretty much all the time. So thank you. It's funny, I was reading a Roisin Ingalls piece a few days ago in the Irish Times talking about how the supermarket had become her essentially social hub. I was going, yep. You got that right for sure. And Bláthain, by the way, who works there, has been there for years and years. I promised I'd say hello, so I'm glad to say hello to Bláthain this morning. A great presence in the shop there. It's a great old shop. It's run beautifully. And Niall and Gary and Tom and everyone there, just a joy. So good morning to everyone there and all the nice people who say hello when I'm running around with my basket. Like a basket case. But Bláthain, who I need, I promised an after more and Dahi mug, so I need to get my hands on one of those to give to her, and I need to come good on that. Also, the Mad Ravens is a musical theatre company in Sligo, so they asked me to mention, despite the pandemic, they're presenting St. Patrick and the Sleeping Giant. So Francis was on to say it's a musical theatre piece featuring stunning views of St. Patrick's journey through Sligo with comedy and sea shanty and Gregorian chant, which sounds just wonderful, and original music by, a piece rather, by Sean Purcell. And he was busy in the 90s in Dublin and London and the States. And it's the Mad Ravens Facebook page and Sligo's St. Patrick's Day Parade on Facebook. I love that because everyone's trying their best to think laterally on how to fix things. I love this. Paul Cullen compiled this, illustrated by Alan Nolan. It's called Shakespeare in Action. And each page essentially is, there's Macbeth, Lady Macbeth's monologue, in a nutshell what it's about, what the play, and a bit of trivia. But then he should really get onto this. Shakespeare Top Trumps. That's a clever thing to do. But if you want a copy of that, go for it. ArclightDramaStudios.com. Brilliant guy and a great thing to do. Thank you, Angela Mason, for your postcard on the subject of Iceland. Thank you, Johnny and Mary, Lordship, because they sent me a postcard on St. Patrick's Day, all for the want of a wee bit of a gathering cheers with 2 pints of Guinness on it. And P.S. on the harbour wall in Roundstone. See you there. Well done. Where else we got? The Banished Winter Blues, March, April days, Cavistons, people will know in Dunleary, are handing out free 200 people, grow your own veg, seeds and carrots and parsnips. So that's a nice thing to do to get people busy during the times that we're in. And Colm Cahill sent a very nice penned note from Sutton to say, dear Ryan, you are the next best thing to Tenerife. Now, I don't quite know how to take that, but I presume there's a compliment in there somewhere. So thank you. We listen to you every Tuesday and Wednesday morning, my sister Fee and me. So I'm sorry, fly the flag for our country because we all do. Well said, Colm. And Tenerife is still waiting for you. And to Sheila Barnes and libertiespapers.ie. Bought stuff from these guys before. They're terrific, and they do lovely cards. Shop Irish, buy local, and they do a little box of Easter bunting that you can make with your kids, and it's really beautiful. So well done to them. And that's just a few little bits of pieces of business I wanted to get to because people keep sending things in, and whether it's things that they're up to or requests and whatever, I try to do as many as I can whenever I can. So sorry if I didn't get to yours, but I'll do my best. Watch Skyfall, shot by Roger Deakins. Best Bond film visually. Yeah, great song too. Goldfinger theme, says text. Mesmerising. The opening eclipses any other Bond. Shirley Bassey nails it big time. And that's John Barry's genius. Yeah, no question about it. Remember Alan Partridge walking to the petroleum station singing Goldfinger? Yeah, well, Alan Partridge and myself, lives mirror each other all too often. Trevor Peacock obviously read about the person who went insane trying to write the theme song for A Clockwork Orange, says Noel. Yeah, that's good. I like that. And somebody said they went to the school. Trevor Peacock, who I've never heard of now, to be honest with you, before this one. Tony says he was a school teacher in my old primary school in Cuckoo Hall Lane in London. There you are, what appropriate. I've just been outside to view my son's basketball stand bent over on the ground. Doesn't look good. Don't think it can be repaired, says Dolores in Cavan. I'm more emotional about this than usual, as it was an 18th birthday present from me to him last May. Lockdown, no school, no leaving cert symbol. Looking quite sad on this windy morning. We waited 3 weeks for it. Ah well, better times ahead. Hoop dreams, isn't that what they call them? Let's see. Good news that Irish retailers are doing well in line online. I've been buying books from Kenny's in Galway and especially O'Mahony's in Limerick, who don't charge postage. Good on them. Arrived in 2 days. Terrific. No personal links either, so that's great. Okay, more coming in on all of the above, but we've got to take a break. Being a fan, says the text of Harry Potter and Stephen Fry, recycling and being frugal, we bought the tapes, the cassette tapes of those books narrated by Mr. Fry on eBay for next to nothing. And my 8-year-old spent most of lockdown listening to those tapes. So hooray for cassette tapes. Well, didn't you do the right thing? And as you say, ecologically sound thing to do also. Thank you to the man with the cassette tape, says Louise in a very wet mayo. God be with the days when we'd be trying to record Ireland's number one, when the lovely Larry Gogan would do the charts count and indeed press, play, record. Down it went. Être et avoir, a French documentary about a very small primary school in the village, and the best teacher who disciplines, listens, nurtures and educates children aged 5 to 12 is heartbreaking and beautiful and a must watch. I have lots of homework today, but I'm writing it down. Être et avoir. Okay, thank you for that. Gyros, or Gyros, J-I-R-O-S, adapt Japanese documentary about an 84-year-old man who dedicated his life to crafting the best sushi in the world. His 10-seat restaurant has 3 Michelin stars. It's amazing. I think for visual people like myself, films are my books, says Niamh. And I think that's a very fair point indeed. Watching Smother on RT, which continues on Sunday. Shauna Kerslake will be one of our guests. I'm looking forward to reacquainting with her on tomorrow night. But I noticed that the music is very nice, including this. That's Villagers' Trick of the Light, which it's haunting and it's very beautiful, but I think Conor O'Brien could record the phone book and make it sound haunting and beautiful. But lovely piece of music that. We're nearly out the door here. Before we go, please will you say hello to our sister Eilish Lynham, who lives in Lucca. Well, Lucca's an interesting place to live. That's where one of the triumvirates had a big meeting once upon a time. A great historical place. It teaches in the University of Pisa. And poor Eilish was knocked down by a dog. Holy smoke. And is now on her back, confined to bed for months with a fractured pelvis, unable to move, but will be listening today as she does. Well, honest to goodness, from all the Lynhams in Ireland and the Buchignanis in Italy and Maeve in Maastricht. Don't forget Maeve in Maastricht. Thank you so much, Anya, in Wexford. That's the full Irish there, isn't it? And Anatan, poor Eilish. Well, I hope you're okay. I'm sending you all the love this morning. Ciao ragazza. And that's where we're going to say goodbye for now. And stay tuned for Claire Byrne. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.